Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fear not. It's an interesting command to hear after one has been scared to death. And then there's some irony when the one who caused the fright is the one who says it. As in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 on the screen for you, in the same region where there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. Fear not." That's the command given in the midst of great fear on that evening on that hillside in Judea. The angel appeared to these simple and meek shepherds who would labor tirelessly for very little and didn't have much social status to shout about. The angel didn't appear, please notice, to the high and to the mighty, to the rulers or to the wealthy. Instead, the angels announced the joyous news to the simple, hard-working people of the land with "Fear not." It's gratifying that God often gave signs and gave messages to common folks, is it not? From the prophets all the way to common folk like you and me, Jesus himself chose common people to be his apostles, to be those messengers of the gospel to the world. And then I think about in our daily life as well, what is God on the screen there? What is God saying to us through the gentle signs and messages along our path in life? Do we humble ourselves, speak the truth, and have hearts of faith like little children when we pray to him? Well, the shepherds were tending their lambs and sheep in the deep darkness. It's a quiet environment. And I think about a quiet environment out in the woods somewhere, being there by myself. It can be frightening in itself. Each rustle of the grass, each snap of the branch, each sound of an animal, maybe a wolf, these alone can cause great fear for a shepherd and the sheep alike. I'm sure that there's even been extra unease of having all of the people coming in and out of Bethlehem for the census and paying of the taxes like Mary and Joseph, so alertness was high. And in the midst of that environment, the angel appeared. In the midst of that stillness, but yet alertness, in the countryside, the Lord's glory shined all around the keepers of the lambs. Fear not. That's what the angel says. And the glory of the Lord had caused great fear before. David in the Old Testament, he'd seen a person touch the Ark of the Covenant and fall down dead. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, kneeling at the foot of the temple, on the stairs of the temple way, and he saw the vision of the seraphim. He saw inside the throne room of the Lord, and he felt great doom. About a year before this night in Bethlehem, I think of Zacharias, right, the husband of Elizabeth, who seen an angel in the temple as he was serving and was filled with great fear. And the same was true for Mary when the angel appeared to her in Nazareth about 9 months earlier than what we're talking about here this morning. And each time there was great fear, the type of fear and fright that comes in knowing that death and destruction just lay in wait. That's the reaction when humanity's sinfulness and humanity's smallness run up against the Lord's glory. Fear not. Fear not. The angel's words from Luke chapter 2, verse 10, 11, and 12 disclose that there needs to be no fright on the outskirts of Bethlehem on the screen. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, swaddling cloths, and lying in a manger. There's the reason why there should be no fear. The Lord's glory shines around the shepherds. It shines in the stable there where the infant Jesus lies in a feeding trough or a manger. And this divine presence is there for a good purpose. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What I'm trying to say here is this glory that's being poured out by the presence of God, it isn't there to ruin, it's there to rescue. It's not there for doom, it's there for deliverance. It's not there for panic, it's there for peace. Fear not. Let that be the two words we remind ourselves of often, that we should not be afraid. As we walk towards God in our lives today, and as we put aside our fears and as we put aside our skepticisms, the message from God is clear. Unless we adopt a heart-like, childlike faith, it's going to be difficult for us to hear the good news because our adult egos drowned out the gentle voice of God calling us to Him. Fear not. That command's given to the shepherds because they are to be witnesses to the Lord's work, that it will bring salvation to them. They're offered this opportunity to see their Savior, and these shepherds are going to go and they're going to witness the Messiah whom was promised long ago to their forefathers in the ancient messianic prophecies that are now fulfilled. So we went through all of the Old Testament until this morning. Merry Christmas, by the way, and today is the ultimate fulfillment of all those prophecies that we were looking at. The promised Savior to Adam and Eve, the promised seed to Abraham, the promised servant to the prophets, the greater David's greater son, promised to David 1,000 years before Gabriel came and greeted Mary. And now in time and space, a living, moving, breathing flesh and blood reality. The shepherds have this occasion to listen to how heaven itself responded to this great act that begun in Bethlehem from Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 on the screens for you. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." These shepherds, dear friends, are among that group mentioned by the heavenly host. They are a sharing in the divine peace that the Lord brings to the world as He becomes part of it. Not only becomes part of it, but He comes part of it to cause salvation. And hearing what the Lord was doing for them, the shepherds act. From Luke chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. They believed the divine message of the angels brought to them. They weren't paralyzed by fear, but they were driven by joy and driven by gladness. They want to be part of the act, and they want others to know and share in the same message that they got from the angels as well. As they left the Bethlehem hillside, they went and saw the baby. And then what did they do? They made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. They made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. You see, it hadn't been exhausted, the message. The townspeople haven't heard it yet. The message hasn't been exhausted. The temporary residents and the taxpayers that were there for the census, they hadn't heard the message yet. It hadn't been exhausted. Not even to this day has it been exhausted, the message. How do I know? Because you're here today to hear the angel's command given to you anew. Fear not. Fear not. You may be saying to yourself, Pastor, why shouldn't I fear? There is a lot to fear in the world today. Haven't you watched the news lately? Well, let me say that you know well how many things frighten. Our world continues to reel and hurt with madness and mayhem, and there seems to be a multiplication of wickedness in our day, it seems, a tragic and mess of immorality that continues to cut a swath across our country, and it seems like the whole Western world. I think about disease that continues to invade our bodies. Many of you may be struggling today with that. Continued terrorism here and abroad, storms and natural disasters, up and down economic news, you don't know who to believe, the political divide, and here comes a presidential election. And mix that together then, all of the things happening around us in the world with our own personal fears and uncertainties. All of those cause many scares and fears among us. And the future, let me say, Mr. Optimistic here, promises much of the same, right? Then there's those other things that may frighten us as well as we walk our journey in this life, that maybe there's a distress haunting our minds, a conscience troubled because of our current or past behavior. There's bitterness, there's guilt, there's anger, there's shame, there's hatred. Then there's the big one that we must address. The big one, the great fear that we all are facing. Death. Death in the grave. There is finality in those two things, is there not? Each year, you and I, we draw closer to those two things, death and the grave, whether we want to think about it or not. The reality is true. And I know that some of you are thinking about this because it may be the first March 3rd that a loved one in your life is not here with you or has gone to heaven already, or maybe you know someone who is close, they're in their last days, weeks, months. Let me say to you today, as the angel said to the shepherd so long ago on the hillside, fear not. Fear not. He tells you in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, not to be afraid. Let's look at it again. Fear not. Why? Because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, includes you. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So what took place in that little town of Bethlehem has ramifications for you now. There is good news of great joy today, just as there was way back when on that hillside to those shepherds who were in great fear. A Savior has been born, and not just for the people of Bethlehem. Christ the Lord has come for you. Your salvation began the moment that Christ's child is born. From Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6 on the screen. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts. This Jesus makes you His people. And the person with whom God is pleased, so that you can have His peace. The Savior is the true expression of divine peace. He is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. The Lord's wonder and might and eternal presence, God's glory dwells in Jesus so that He can use it for your good. He is present. He brings deliverance from doom. He brings rescue from ruin. He brings peace in the panic. And today you are invited once again to celebrate this great joy that the Christ child has accomplished for you. The nativity of Christ points to us not only Christ's love and sacrificial love for us, but also it points us to the heart of Christ as we approach and live in the chaos of this world in which we find ourselves. We are called by Christ to love God and then to love others sacrificially. Let our love for God and for others be seen by our loving deeds and our gentle words as we let God's divine love be done in, with, and through each one of us. You are called today, dear friends in Christ, to participate in his death and resurrection, to make known the sayings that have been told you concerning this child, Jesus, as the source of your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Makes me think of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So as we gather today once again to celebrate the Lord Jesus coming in flesh, the Lord's angel, though, comes and gives you and I a command. Fear not. Fear not, because your sins are atoned for. Fear not, because you possess the Lord's righteousness. Fear not, because the light of divine truth shines in the darkness of this world. Fear not, because you have God as your Father. Fear not, because you are not limited to this lifetime, but you have a share in everlasting life. Fear not, because you are meant for a new heaven and a new earth that is even greater than this one. Fear not, because the angels that brought the message to the shepherds also dwell with you to preserve you in the peace of the Lord. And fear not, because all the challenges and all the changes and all the chances of life that weary you will be put away when this Jesus makes all things new. Fear not. The Lord's glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, dwells in Jesus, and he has used it for your good. Fear not on the screen. For behold, Jesus brings you good news of great joy that will be for you. You are part of all the people, and for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Fear not. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.